Welcome to the LifeLink Church Podcast. We hope you hear something that will make a difference in your everyday life. If there is anything we can do to be a bigger part of God's plan for your life, then please email us at info@lifelinkchurch.com and let us know. Now prepare your hearts to hear God's word to you today.
Guys, I'm so excited about this today. I could hardly wait to get out here, so thank God you made it. You're going to be really glad that you made it to church today. Or if you're streaming the service, you're going to be glad you picked this one to do. God's going to talk to you and show you some things. I think it's going to make a real big difference in your journey through what he's doing in your lives this year. So go ahead and open your Bible app, or your LifeLink app, or open the binder with your paper notes. Whatever you're capturing God's words to you today in, make sure you're ready for it, because God's always here and always working in his Bible or through his word by the power of his Holy Spirit. And every time we're willing to hear, to receive, and apply what he shows us, change happens. And the kind of change that God brings is always the good kind. We're in part three of our series, Over It. And we've really kind of taken a fun kind of journey through this idea where we reach the end of a year, we step into a brand new year, we're kind of over some of the things that we're frustrated with or disappointed in the last year, and looking forward to some great things in the new year. And in the middle of all that, our antennas go up and say, God, what are you doing? And what are you wanting to really work on and refresh in my life? And that's really the spirit we're doing this. So we're combining several things into one sermon series called Over It. And we're looking at this, and God has taken this as a four-part vision series and has really been working to align and our hearts and tune us in with what God is doing right now. And we always want to be up to speed with what he's doing right now. If you've missed either of the first two sermons, those are available on the LifeLink app as well as YouTube or the LifeLink website. And I'm saying that because I want you to always know how to catch what you miss. The first two sermons really have important context or building blocks with what God wants to talk to us today about. So I'll do my best to give you a summary, but it won't be the same. So please go back and look at those. If you missed the first week, that's when I introduced the series, I'm Over It. The idea of being exasperated or frustrated or disappointed or just kind of fed up with something. And we looked at the backdrop Jesus used when he told the story of the prodigal son. And a lot of people are familiar with that story. Not everybody. So we summarized it some. We'll do that again here in just a few minutes. But basically, when the prodigal son came to himself, that was the equivalent of saying, I'm over it. I'm done with this whole idea. He realized at that moment what he was over was not what his disappointment was in life. He was over himself. And being over yourself was what he needed in order to be able to turn and come back to his Father. And then the Lord connected that idea last week with something that was very important to us as well, because last week we looked at what was part of what drove the prodigal son away was the fact he didn't actually know his Father as his Father really was. He had an idea of who the Father was, and that's what he was frustrated with. And we use the analogy of, like, all of us grew up in a house and we were frustrated with our parents or didn't like the rules or didn't like this or couldn't wait to become an adult. And we finally got free and discovered that life was harder as an adult than it was as a kid, you know, and so some of those kinds of things. But the reality was what drove him away was he didn't know his Father. But when he came back to his Father, he discovered the heart of his Father that he didn't actually know before. And so knowing God in that way was very important. But for him, in his journey, he didn't know it until he got to the end of himself. Today, the Lord's gonna show us something else. And this is where I believe he's aligning how important it is for us to walk in relationship with him to how important it is we understand what to do in his house. Because we're the body of Christ. We're the church of the living God. And what he's doing in us is important because the local church, the body of Christ, is the hope of the world. It's said one way, it's the church or nothing else. Jesus left us as his solution. So we're going to watch God do something this morning that's going to be an important part of that. So today as we get ready for this, I'm going to stop and pray again. I do that a lot at LifeLink, but that's okay because Jesus said his house will be called a house of prayer. And so if we do nothing else, we've got to make sure we always pray. So let's pray. Father, in Jesus' name, we thank you in advance for who you are, what you're going to do today. You have our attention. You have our mind. You've got our hearts. We are leaned all the way in. Speak to us, Lord. We'll be quick to follow your voice. because we know what you really are looking for is the transformation of areas that are cold and distant in our heart that keep us from walking in close relationship with you. Lord, give us that sense of your guidance. Speak quickly and clearly. We'll be quick to write it down, capture it, and obey it. In Jesus' name, everybody said? Amen. Amen. So we're going to pick up today. I've entitled this particular sermon, Now That I'm Home, Now That I'm Back Home. And we're going to pick up the story where the prodigal son was when it dawned on him how far away he had drifted from who he actually was. And if this particular story in the Bible is not that familiar to you, I'll do the best I can to summarize it in about 30 seconds. There was a father who had two sons, an older son and a younger son. The younger son got fed up with being the kid brother and fed up with the rules and fed up with everything in hell. And finally, in a moment of exasperation, he just looked at his dad and said, "That's it, I'm over it. Someday you're going to die and I'm going to inherit half of your goods. Let me just go ahead and do it now, so I can go about doing what I want to do. I'm ready to do life my own way." And so as crazy as that sounds and as scandalous as that was in that culture for a father to do that, the father did and gave his young son half of his inheritance. And the Bible said he left his father's house with that inheritance and he lived wild and did everything he ever wanted to do and spent his whole inheritance and found out at the end of that journey he was broke, he was alone, and he was without any sense of context. And he found himself, the only thing he could do was he applied for a job, and he landed the job of his dreams, feeding pigs. I'm just kidding. That was kind of a freebie. Some of you looked like you had already glazed over, and I wanted to bring you back. I just wanted to kind of get you leaning back in. But the bottom line is, he was feeding pigs, and we know he was at the lowest of the lows because the Bible says he looked at the food he was feeding the pigs, wishing he could eat the food he was feeding the pigs. That's pretty bad. So that's when it dawned on him, wait a second, I've come to my senses. And that's where we're going to pick the story up now and go back into the journey and watch what God shows us this morning. So that's where we're at in the journey. Luke chapter 15, verse 17 starts there where he came to himself. It says, "But when he had come to himself, he said, 'How many of my father's servants have more than enough bread, but I perish here with hunger?' So it dawns on him, 'I will arise and go to my father, and I will say to him,'" then he comes up with this big speech, "'Father, I have sinned against heaven and sinned before you.'" You know when you're coming back to dad and you want something out of him, you come up with this big idea and you put this big case up? Or if somebody wants something from you, they put the big case up there that you can't say no to. That's what he's doing. "'Father, I've sinned against you and I sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son, and I'm going to ask that you treat me like one of your hired servants.'" And so he finished his speech out, and he must have felt pretty good about it, because the next verse starts off, "And he arose and came to his father." So he got it all worked out, and he arose and came to his father. So that's looking at the journey through his lens. And then the story actually shifts perspectives and jumps over to the father's lens. Now, the father, his perspective of what's going on starts by reading this way. He said, but while the son was still a long way off, the father saw him and felt compassion and ran and embraced him and kissed him. So now we've shifted perspectives. Starts off with the son's perspective. He's coming home. Now we see the father's perspective. And apparently he was looking because the son didn't get all the way up to the front porch before he saw him. The Bible says he saw him a long way off. So that doesn't mean he was across the street. He was a long way off. Long way off means you're looking like this, like way out there, like the sunrise comes up over the horizon. You're not sure if it's up yet or not. You're there, Ah, there it is. It's that moment where he's looking on the horizon. See, is that him? Is that it? No, it might be him. No, that's him. So he's looking a long way off. So he jumps into that perspective. And the Bible says he runs to the son. He hugs him and kisses him. And the son says, verse 21, "Father, I've sinned against heaven and before you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." So he starts into his speech. And I love that, because God will let us start into our speech. And the reason he does, because he knows. He knows. But I love this picture. And the father said, he didn't even let him finish the speech. The father just interrupted him and he said, "To his," what's that word? Servants. The father said to his servants. So I'm going to pause here for a quick second and show you something the Lord has shown me with, has shown me, and is adjusting some of my perspective. Here's the picture of a father and a son in an embrace. The son's crying, snot going down his dad's shirt. I've sinned against you, and all these things. His father's listening to his voice, but he's not responding. He looks and says something else to his servants. Now stop for a second. Where did this conversation happen? A long way off. So the father had hoofed it. He left the house. He ran, got to the son, hugging the son, embraced the kiss, the talk, the having conversation. The son starts in the speech. He turns and says to his servants, who must have run with him. Now think about that for a minute. There's something God wants us to see. He definitely wants us to see a father's heart, because the father ran from the house to go to the lost son. But there are other people in the scenario with him that showed up as he began to talk to his son. Here's what that picture looks like to me. The father goes, that's him. And the picture is he gathered up his robe so he could run, and he ran. And because he was able to say to his servants this next line, that means something must have happened. The servants saw him running. Now, who are servants? Servants are a part of the team in a home that actually work out the desire of the owner of that home. In that context, I'm sure there were gardeners and housekeepers and interior designers and bookkeepers and chefs and bakers and all the things that just go with running kind of a home like that. And in that season, that was pretty common. But the picture is those are servants, and that means that it took all those people working together for that house to operate like a home. But the home has its heart in its father. In other words, the culture of that home is set by the father. The rules of the home are set by the father. So there must have been something that the father was doing, because this, Jesus didn't say how long the son was gone, but there was a wanting in the father's heart that kept looking for the son. And the picture is, how would you look for your son who you might see coming a long way off? The picture is you're standing at the door of your home and the door is open, or maybe you're on the front porch and you're looking. And then the housekeeper comes by and says, excuse me, sir, with the little vacuum cleaner, the little dust whipper. Do you mind if I get this? Okay, thank you very much. Sorry, sir, interrupt. What is he doing? The father is looking for the son. Pretty soon the chef comes by and says, sir, what are you looking for lunch? I don't care, I'm not that hungry. Okay, you're looking for your son. Okay, I got that. And then the maintenance guy comes by and he's trying to fix this. But in other words, the team around the home that made the house operate like a home must have noticed that the father was looking for something. Because there was a day that they saw something they'd never seen before, and it stirred them into action. All of a sudden, they left what they were doing and started running too. What did they see? A father who saw him and started running. And you go, this is it. This is it. We're running. They're probably thinking, I had no idea the old man could move that fast. But they ran out there with him. They're probably standing around when they watched it all happen. And that's why he could look over perhaps his son's shoulder with his head buried in his shoulder. He could look over his son's shoulder and say, hey, I want y'all to go get the ring. Go get everything ready. We're gonna have a party. And the Lord showed me something. The servants in the house knew the father's heart. And when they saw the father run, they ran with him. There was an interruption of their routine, and they ran. So I love that. Now, listen, let me pick the story back up, and we'll pick a couple of these pieces together. So he says, put the ring, the father said to his servants, quick, bring the best robe and put it on him, put the ring on his hand and the shoes on his feet, bring the fattened calf and kill it, and let's eat and let's celebrate. For this, my son was dead, and now he's alive again. He was lost, and now he is found. In other words, he said he was dead and he's alive. It doesn't mean he was literally dead. It means he had broken the relationship and ran away. He left the relationship, so there was a deadness there. But now he's alive, which means the relationship had just come back together. Then he said he was lost, and now he is his found. He's lost and now he's found. Because of that, we're going to celebrate. So I love this. And he said the very next word, and they began to celebrate. So that's interesting. Now, where did this celebration happen? Well, we know where it happened because verse 25 says, now his older son was in the field, and as he came and drew near to the house, he heard the music and dancing. So the music and dancing was in the house. So there's this interesting picture where the father was in his house looking for his lost son. When he saw his son, he left the house and ran to his son. They connected. He said, I found you. Now the found son comes back to the house. Now there is a celebration. There is a party in the house. And I love that. I love that. So the son knew this, the older son now, as he came near the house, he heard the music and he called one of the servants and said, what's going on? What do these things mean? Verse 27, the servant said to him, your brother has come and your father has killed the fattened calf, and because he has received him back into the household safe and sound. So I'm gonna pause the story there. Let's put the players on the field and let's watch the Lord now move all the pieces around and see about the message God is wanting us to see. So if you put yourself at the very beginning of today's message, let's talk about the prodigal. Where did the prodigal come to himself? He came to himself in the pig pen. If you're taking notes, write that down. I want to make sure I give the note taker something to write down, because you'll think I'm not gonna get through the sermon. So let's get you busy. That way you'll know that there's a movement in this sermon. The prodigal son came to himself in the pig pen. All right, now, the father ran to meet the prodigal son a long way off. So the prodigal son came to himself in the pig pen. He started back home. The father saw him and ran to meet him a long way off. So we talked about that already. Then we talked about the fact that the celebration happened in the house. Everyone say in the house. So far we've got in the pig pen, a long way off, and in the house. This is what the Lord showed me about this, and I'm hoping to connect the dots in a way that brings an aha to you as well. Celebration happened in the Father's house. Well, let me say it this way. The celebration happened in the Father's same old house. The celebration happened in the Father's same old house. You're like, huh? This is the same old house that the young son left. Same old chair, same old tired fridge, same old kitchen, same rules and regulations, same curfews, same culture, same patterns, same. Same old house. But now there's a party in that same old house. And this is where the Lord really got my juices flowing. I said, Lord, thank you so much for showing this to me. I needed it. So let me jump back in now to the story, because when there's one more son, we got to jump into his lens and see what's going on. And then we'll pull all the pieces together and let the Lord speak to us. Verse 28 in the story says, but the son, once he heard what was happening, he was angry. Everyone say angry. And refused to go in. In other words, once he realized what was happening, he refused to go into the celebration. Now watch this. His father came out and begged him to come in. So picture this. Here's the father who's already lost one son, now celebrating with the son he lost. Now he's looking at the older son, begging him to join the celebration. I mean, this father has gone through a lot. Verse 29 is so telling. But he answered his father. In other words, I'm angry, I'm not going in. Father comes out, please come in. Please don't miss this. This is such a big deal. You have no idea. So he's begging his son. The young son, the oldest son, who is still young to compared to the father, the son says, he answered his father and says, look, these many years, and then he went through his vantage point, his speech, his story, his experience. All these many years, I've served you. I've never disobeyed your commands, yet you've never given me even a young goat to celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours came back, you remember the one, the young one who squandered all your inheritance? That one who embarrassed our family, who scandalized our family tree? You remember the one that just humiliated all of us? And then he spent all of it on prostitutes. He said, remember that one? Now that he's come back, you've killed the fatted calf for him. In other words, you've ordered a whole trailer full of ribs for him. And you brought the Pepsi truck in. And there's the mac and cheese vat, you know, and the whole nine yards. And you're now the party's here. And I've been here the whole time. And you never threw me a party. So he's going through all this. Verse 31. And the father said to the son, son, you are always with me. And all that's mine is actually yours. So now the father is sharing something with the older son that he kind of knew on the one hand, but didn't really know. In other words, he says, it's true. You've never left the house. It's true that it all belongs to you. Two things are telling to me. Number one, clearly the older brother was not out looking for his younger brother. He never left the house. His heart wasn't looking. It's like, I'm glad that joker's gone. It's all mine now. What brother? Judging by his reaction, that would likely have been his attitude. Yeah, it's all mine. You already had yours. And we know this because we're human, right? And this is how we as humans tend to think. And he was actually right. Everything that his father still had as his home, as his house, was technically the older son's. It belonged to him because the younger son had already taken his. The only thing that needed to happen now was the dad to die. It was all his. He had his house. He had his rules. He had his culture. He had his routines. He was settled in all of that and not looking for that son. Notice he didn't run when the father ran. So this is where, and there's two ways to hear this. We can either hear this like a beat down, or we can hear it like a, oh, thank God. I'm so glad to see it this way. And the Spirit of our Father this morning, by the work of the Holy Spirit, is saying to all of us who are in the house, hey guys, come up here, I'm gonna show you something I think you're missing. So God's not standing in heaven waggling a finger at us going, you stiff-necked people. He's like, hey, I'm gonna show you something I think you're missing out on. I want you to see it like I see it. And that's really what we see in the Father's last sentence to him. He says, it is actually fitting to celebrate and be glad. So he's saying, you're mad, but it's because you're focused on something wrong. But I want to share with you something from a father's perspective that you haven't experienced yet. Someday you'll know it as a father. So from a father's perspective, here's what I want you to know. You're mad right now, but it's fitting we celebrate what you're mad at because. Celebrate and be glad. Because your brother was dead and now he's alive. And then he says this phrase, he was lost and now he is found. And there's so much nuance. I think God's gonna get into our hearts. And this year as a congregation, I can't wait to see where 2019 goes. But for today, let me just land on what I think God wants us to see. There's something about that same old house that the older son probably had some degree of contempt for. Now there's a celebration in it. What happened? And the father was saying to him, here's what I want you to see. It's fitting we do this because both the younger son and you, the older son, have missed the point of what a house is. A house facilitates a function called a home. And here's what turned that house back into a home. Here's what turned that same old house. So if you're taking notes, write this down. Same old became celebration in the context of the found. In the context of the found. The context of the found. And what that father was hoping to get across to his son is, if you will connect the dots with me, I want you to see something. Your brother left because he didn't know me. And when he came to the end of himself, he came back. He found me. Now that he knows me and he's found me, guess who's welcome into the home? And now there's the celebration, the party. And here's what I want you to know, you who didn't leave the house, you're very comfortable in your Sunday routine. You didn't leave the house. You got settled in. Just kind of check the box. Same old house, same old schedule, same old dream team, same old assignment, same old song, same old paint, same old. Listen, I'm just like everybody else when it comes to this house. This is like my house. I walk in here, it's like the paint's chipped over here, can't get that fixed yet. Want to get this figured out. This is not right. I walk around this house just perhaps like you do. Walk in here, ushers need to be doing this. Greeter didn't do that. The song lyric isn't right. The choir's there. I'm just like everybody else. Except for you, it might look like this. Same old song. He's preaching overtime again. Why has he got to go so it's cold in here? Why is it this? Coffee's not hot. Why can't we have that in the cafe? I mean, every other church cafe has got biscuits. Why can't we have biscuits? I mean, I thought it was a good church, but now it's kind of getting old. It's kind of same old thing. I always talk about, you know, dream team and life groups and, you know, let's do something new. And the father said, hey guys, I want y'all to know something this morning. That's just part of being a house. But a house becomes a home when the lost gets found. He said the same old became the celebration in the context of the found. And I was just speaking in extreme language. I walk in this building and I'm grateful for it. But I notice the smudges on the wall just like you do. I walk in here and some of our lights don't work because they got to be programmed a little bit differently or whatever it was. And I'm like, and I notice that stuff. I can't help it. It's just part of the way I notice stuff. But you're no different than that. We walk in, we notice stuff. But if we're not careful, we may walk in and go, oh, it's 5 minutes over again. Hey, oh, I guess it's okay that Pastor Leslie led the worship, but I like it better when Pastor Cherie does. Not really, Pastor Leslie, wherever you went. There you are back there. But these are our natural tendencies. And here's when none of that matters. You know when none of that matters? When a bad jam just rolls right out in the middle of a sermon like that. Nothing that doesn't matter. If that's my mom, tell her I said hello and I love her a lot. Hey, listen, you know when none of those things matter at all? When the son that you watched walk out your life 10 years ago and hate God suddenly shows up and is visiting you in that church that day? None of that matters, right? Isn't that true? In other words, if the found is in the house, suddenly it becomes a home. And what God's saying to all of us is the key that I've preached this sermon twice now, and I'm almost at the end of my sermon. And you're like, good, because I'm ready to go. But I can't say the last one until they get to the last, because all the C personalities are like, yep, all these blanks, you got to fill in all these blanks first, Pastor Dave. Don't do that last one. But God's showing us the key this morning. Let me tell you why, to me, this was such a big thing that God walked me through. Because as a pastor, I'm privileged to serve God's plan and purpose in your life, and I take it so seriously. Pastor Sheree and I love serving you. It is a passion point for us. We spend our lives completely, every minute, every hour, every ounce of strength we have, it goes into serving God's plan and purpose in your life, and we wouldn't do anything else. We love it. Okay. Part of my responsibilities, my job, that I stand before Jesus because he's the one. If you look at some of the Bible kind of context with how the church actually works together, when Jesus was risen before he left, he said as he was risen, he put gifts back into the church. Those gifts, he called them gifts, but they're really functioning offices or functions. And they all work together so that the church is built up and equipped. And so I serve you in one of those capacities, actually a couple of them. And my job is to make sure you are equipped and built up. So you're equipped with vision. This is who God's called us to be. This is how God wants us to do it. And that you're built up so that everything that's needed, we can actually provide along the way. So that's part of my job. Practically speaking, as a pastor, that means at least once a year, often twice a year, I'll stand up in front of the church and say, hey guys, here's our vision. Here's what God's showing us. Here's who God's called us to be. Here's how God wants us to do it. Here's where we're going. Here's the things we aim at. But here's the problem I have as a human pastor. I'm talking to human people, which means after you've heard it the third time, it's like, oh, well, that's the same old vision. We got to get something new around here, Pastor Dave, because we've already heard that one. Here's my dilemma. It's not my vision. That vision comes from God, and it's not for sale. I don't get to just say what I think, because I'm on the hook. I have to give an account for that. So as I was wrestling with God, saying, God, I've got to talk about the high five. I've got to talk about who we are. I've got to talk about this, the 2020 vision. And if they've been around here more than a year, that's old hat. They've heard it in Growth Track. They've heard it in this. And I heard the Father clear his, figuratively speaking, kind of clear his throat and say, David, I think you've missed the point. You're talking about the house again. You've forgotten I'm actually looking for the lost. But here's what I know. The Holy Spirit, God's Holy Spirit, is doing a work in his people right now, tuning us in to who he is in a fresh new way, reminding us that we live high-stakes lives, calling us to fit together in households, calling us for households to fit together as a church family, calling church families to work in symphony with other churches. So his kingdom is established in regions, and this region we live in is transformed, and our nation has hope of redemption, and the world has a chance to see what the church looks like as we come into focus. Does that make sense? And so what he was saying was, I'm doing a work in the heart of my people, and if you'll cast a clear vision with this picture, it'll help them connect with what my heart really is. So at the risk of sounding a bit redundant, I'm gonna spend the next 5 minutes and go through our vision. If you've been at LifeLink before, you've probably already filled in all the lines. If you've been through Growth Track once, you can fill in the lines. But listen, just for accountability, if by chance, as we're going through this, you hear the whispers in your mind, oh, that's the same old thing. All that is the Lord showing you which son that he's talking to, right? Because we're listening today, we've probably either come to our end of ourselves and are coming back to God, or we're in the house wondering what to do next. So one of those sons probably represents the majority of all of us. And the reason I want to say that to us is because your Father who created you loves you and doesn't want you to miss either dimension of who he is or what he's saying, because you are what he's after. You're everything to him. And when we walk away from him, it's always because we don't know him right. But we come to the end of ourselves and come back, he goes, now you're found. Then he says to those who never left the house, who are pretty good with church, hey, I want you to know the reason the house is here. It's for the lost who become the found. So let me give you this. 13 years ago, God gave Cherie and me the vision and the name of LifeLink Church. So here's who we are. We are LifeLink Church, and what we do is we link people and God together for life. So if you're filling those notes out, that's who we are and what we do. We're LifeLink Church. That's the church family God's called us to be. And what we're all about, linking people and God together for life. It just dawned on me in the second service this morning. I could have just said it this way: LifeLink Church found. That's what it's all about. See that? Linking people and God together for life. The shorthand for that is found. That's what God's really after. So we're not trying to just come up with good social media and try to get good programming and keep you busy so you don't go to some other church. We're actually a church who's really focused on that. We want to find lost people. Why? Because we remember what it was like to be lost and then become found. We do that by focusing on five specific types of ministry. Let me give you these real quick. We call these the high five. We call them the high five. And the reason we call them the high five is because these are our five priorities that we put all of our energy into, these five things as a church family. That's why when you turn and give your neighbor a high five, we're reminding each other, hey, we're all about the found. We're all about this. These are the five things we do. And because I'm weird, you didn't laugh, which means you agree. All five of these words start with L, because L is the first letter of LifeLink. So I thought, well, it'll help me remember if I pick words that go with L. So here are the five L words that are shorthand for the five things we do. Number one, the first one is link. Link. Link is really what we do here on Sunday mornings when we worship together, that we can worship service. It really facilitates two things. This is the picture kind of the house, if you will. Link, where people find God. Here's how it usually works. And for the most part, it's not the only way to find God, for the record, but it's an easy way to find God, because you walk in, people are worshiping, which means his presence is here, which means you can feel him easy. So what we do is we say, all right, we're starting with worship, because when God's people worship him in spirit and in truth, he begins to manifest, he begins to show up, and people feel him. If you feel him, there's like, oh, there he is, I found him. Then we teach and preach from his word, where we hear him and decide I can follow him. So if you just step back and look at it, we want to make sure we can help people feel him so they find him and can follow him. That's the single kind of process that we really look at when we think of the concept of salvation. The person's decision to say yes to Jesus. They can't say yes to something, to someone they haven't found. And it's hard to find something you haven't felt or discovered yet. So feel him so you can find him and follow him. Salvation. And then the other part of it, celebration. This is where the party's at, which is why we have lights and smoke and subwoofers. And hearing protection for those of you that want those. The ushers always have them, and it doesn't hurt our feelings if you wear them. Leave them sticking way out too, so everybody can see that you got them. It's all cool. And we're kind of laughing a little bit together because we love to celebrate, and life is just great together, all right? So, salvation is celebration. It's what we do on the weekends. Got to move forward. Link, that's what that means. Learn is how we grow in relationship with God and his purpose for my life. So just like Link, the practical application of helping people find God is Sunday morning, helping people discover who God created them to be in relationship with him is what we call Learn. We have a process called Growth Track at LifeLink. Growth Track is designed as four classes you can take during the second service every Sunday at LifeLink. And you can take the four-step classes and discover, this is who you are in Christ. This is who we are as a church family. This is who God created you to be and how you can make a difference. And here's how you connect with the teams that actually that frame the house on the weekend. So I'll tell you about that in a second. But that's Growth Track. And if LifeLink is something you feel drawn to and you haven't been to Growth Track, listen, your next step is Growth Track. In February, let's just say it this way. If you've not been through Growth Track in the past 18 months, go to Growth Track next month. Start first Sunday in February, and let's go to Growth Track together. Once you actually go through Growth Track and you connect with the family, you're going to end up on the Dream Team. I'll tell you about that in a second. But the bottom line is they'll start you with that one. And then what do you do? How do you keep growing? We do something called SOAP. It's a guide. It's available in print form at the Information Center every month. Got one? I love that. She's got mine right here. It's available on our app. It's available on the website. That whole program is equipping you to figure out, how do I find God in his Bible every day? So scripture, how do I pull an observation out of that, write an application about it, and turn it into a prayer? What am I doing? I'm finding God every day. I'm growing in that relationship. What's he doing? He's building me up. I'm growing, I'm learning. Does that make sense? So both the beginning and the continuation of learning is framed out in the word learn. Lead is the next one. Lead is all about using your influence to serve others in the house. What does that mean? Ushers, greeters, technology, children, students, you name it, cafe, it's all of it. In fact, if you don't know this about LifeLink, it takes about 125 people per service for all this to happen. That means 125 people had to go out of their way to make sure the lights are turned on, the sound is right, the kids are being watched and taught, the worship is being facilitated, on and on. It takes about 125 people per service for that to happen. You know what all 125 people are? The house. This is just a building. That's the house. And the way they serve in it turns that house into a home. So this is why at LifeLink Church, when you go through Growth Track, the outworking of Growth Track is we literally connect you with a team of people you can serve with. Why? Because that's how you connect in the family. You can watch, you can sit on the sideline at LifeLink on Sundays. You can sit in this environment for years and never feel connected. In fact, sometimes I hear that from people. Pastor Dave, I've been coming to LifeLink for 2 years. I just don't feel connected. I feel like I've fallen through the cracks. And almost every time I hear that, literally in my mind, I hear I'm not on Dream Team and I'm not in small groups. Guarantee you, if you're all the way in and you serve every time on a dream team, and it's not just I'm clicking that clock, getting my dream on. If you're actually serving in the dream team with the heart to serve, in other words, if you're serving like a home, not a house, that was kind of funny, wasn't it? I should have used that in the first two services. I think these sermons get better and better with each passing service. I should preach three times before I see any of you guys. But the bottom line is, you guys, if you serve with that, you're gonna connect with other people and you won't be invisible. You'll be seen and known. If you're in our life groups, we'll talk about in a second, you'll be connected in and cared for. Why? Because that's how you connect at LifeLink. So that's lead. Let me tell you about love, discovering God's strength and doing life together in groups. That's what happens beyond Sunday. That's how we connect our lives together in meaningful ways about topics or interests, but all of that's designed to strengthen the fabric of relationships with other people who are growing in godliness. The last one is called love. Everyone say love, which is reaching out to show God's love to those who still don't know him. And that's, in other words, that's how do we be like the servants in the house who must have seen the father who was looking out the door, and as soon as they saw the father ran, they were running with him. Well, that's next week. We're going to talk about that next week. It's going to be really, really good. But what I want to do is say that's who we are, that's what we do, and that's how we do it. So we are LifeLink Church. We link people and God together for life. We do that through the high five, which is link, learn, lead, live, love. This is what I'm saying. If you probably saw this, you've been at LifeLink more than a cycle or two, you've probably already filled in all the blanks. But God said it's not about the blanks, it's about the home. Why? Because it's all about the found. It's all about the found. All right? Now, I've gone through the vision to show that this is who we are. This is what we do. It's how we do it. Now, what does God want us to accomplish? Let me give you a quick context for that. As a congregation, we started as a church family on the journey together in 2006. For the first 8 years, we were portable, which means we were meeting in small groups and meeting in schools. In 2014, we moved into this building and we finally had a house to call a home. It was wonderful. As soon as we got here, I stood up here. One time I was all by myself. We had just gotten in the building. All the chairs were out. The lights were on. There was nobody in here. It was just me and God. And I looked out at these chairs and said, God, what do we do next? And that's when he spoke to my heart in 2014 and gave me a picture to aim at for the next 6 or 7 years, which is by the end of the year 2020, David, this is what I'm calling LifeLink to accomplish. So let me give you some of these. I'll tell you how they work together. Write these down real quick. 2,000 people being water baptized. 2,000 people in weekend worship. Using a multi-site strategy. And collaborating relationally on three continents on the earth. Okay, that's, in other words, that's now that we know who we are, what we do, and how we do it, now we need to know what do we need to accomplish. So God said, all right, I want you to spend the next several years working towards these. Now, let me just give you some practical stuff. When the Lord gave me that vision in 2014, I was a little bit terrified. I'll tell you why. Because in 8 years, we'd only baptized 300 and something people. And I looked at that and thought, man, it took 8 years to get 300 people baptized. I don't know how we're going to get to 2,000. And the Lord said, I'll show you how to get there. I'm pleased to say now we have over 800 people that we've seen water baptized, which is 800 people, you guys. That's pretty awesome. I think that's pretty fantastic, okay? Now, I got to tell you, I also stand and look at this thing. Okay, 800, so 2,000 minus 800. Generally, that's 1,200. Some of you guys are real fast with math. As soon as I said this, two numbers, like 1,200 people. And then you just thought, 1,200 people, 23 months. How you going to do that, Pastor Dave? Well, I'm not exactly sure, but let me tell you the kind of God we serve. Do you know there was something that happened just this week in our 7 days of prayer? On Thursday night, sitting right here on this front row, I was asking, I think there was 100 people here that night. What's God saying to you? What's God sharing with you? What's he talking to you about? One of our young men, his name is Daniel, 13 years old. Just launched out of the chair and bolted. If you know Daniel at all, that's just how he just bolted, came up the stairs. He stood here and he's like, that's Daniel, man. He's nothing intimidates him at all. I decided I was going to hold the mic though. Because he's the picture of zeal. I love it. You just can't contain him. So anyway, he said, all right, hey, Pastor Dave. I've been working on a friend of mine all year. I didn't get him to come to church last year, but this year I'm going to get him and one more person. That's what God's talking to me about. And I thought in my heart, that is a prophetic picture in the next, a 13-year-old who gets it. He wasn't trying to figure out how to get that trophy or win that award or whatever. He's like, how can I get my friend to church? I was like, oh, okay, I got that. Because honestly, there'll probably be 600 adults in worship here today, I bet, close to that. If 600 people decided, I'm going to take 12 months to see if I can find one person to bring to Jesus, all I have to do is bring to LifeLink on Sunday. You will feel him, find him, they'll follow him. That's, of the 1,200, that's about 600. And we still have a whole year left after that. See, sometimes if you just break it down and say, oh, can't be done. That's like the son who was standing and said, I'm not going in. But God said, no, the party's in here. Then just a couple years ago, this is what really blows my mind, but I got to share it with you anyway. And then we have to land because I have 1 minute to get you out of here. Some of you guys are watching that clock, I can tell. We celebrated our 10th anniversary just a couple years ago. And the Holy Spirit challenged me with something. I didn't write this in your book, but in your notes, but here's the challenge. That in our season as a ministry, God is challenging us to facilitate the phrase he said was, take a tithe of your territory to heaven in your time. Practically speaking, that to me is about the next 15 years. A tithe of our territory, it's easily identified, it's a 105-mile perimeter around it. Geographically identified target God gave us to shoot at. There's 730,000 people at that moment when God gave me that challenge that called that home, which means 73,000 people in the next 15 years, water baptized, born again, deciding to go to heaven instead of hell from our region. And you may be thinking, 73,000 is a lot of people, Pastor Dave. Yeah, we have a really big God. We have a really big God who's got a really big heart for people who are lost. Now, truthfully, I'm not necessarily thinking that it could be, that maybe we'll be a church of 73,000 people, and if that's what we're gonna do, great, bring it on. But God's given us strategies to work with other churches, and just since then, I've connected with about 15 other churches, and to date, those 15 churches represent a little over 4,000 people who've been water baptized since 2016. So this is what I'm saying. Today, if by chance you're feeling the Holy Spirit whisper, hey, don't be in the house having missed the point. Let's let the Lord realign what we're doing. So we take our steps together
And we keep being like the Father who's standing at that front door going, is that him? Is that him? Because when the Father sees the heart, sees the lost, he runs. How do we know this? I love this. Jesus said, our God is like a shepherd who left 99 found sheep to go find one lost one. So we know that's how he works. So let me give you the last fill in, then we're gonna close the service. My personal involvement with the found is the key for this year. The key that God wants to use to unlock his kingdom's dynamic in your life in 2019 is the found. Focusing on the found. If you're a part of LifeLink and this is the family, then there's easy paths to get to, you know, how lined up with all of those things. But it's all about the found. It's all about the found. And with that, I have to push pause right here. And we're going to pick it next week. We'll pick it right back up from here. But let me pray for you. Father, in Jesus' name, I thank you for your faithfulness. You are such a good God. Now, Lord, as we have journeyed through this message, I sense and feel you. And what I hear you saying is that if we'll focus on the found, finding the lost, and letting that be the genesis of the inspiration, motivation for what we do together in the house, that you'll turn the house of LifeLink back into the home where the lost truly become found. And I thank you. I release that in Jesus' name over this assembly today. I release a grace to weather vane into the leadership of the Lord Jesus Christ today. And I call to every person who's wired with the DNA to be a part of LifeLink, come and be in your place. Father, let the Holy Spirit agitate us until we really find that alignment. Let us not get settled into something that's not right, but keep moving us towards that yes, where we find our place in this house. And then we take on the heart of you, our Father, so that we are celebrating the lost to become the found. And that's the reason we get out of bed. That's the reason we worship one and then we serve one. That's the reason we go through Growth Track. It's the reason we do outreaches. It's the reason we go to work so we have revenue for our houses and our church family. It's the reason we do all that we do to raise the next generation. Why? Because there's still lost people who don't know you. So God, forgive us where we got distracted by the building. Forgive us where we've been distracted by the programs and the processes. Lord, let us really focus on the people who become the found so that all the rest of that actually works right. Now, with your heads bowed and your eyes closed, I want to pray over those of you who know that today Jesus is calling you into a relationship with him in a life-changing way. If you're here today and you know you're not living for Jesus Christ with your choices and your time and your life, then today, you can know it on the inside. I'm going to lead you in a life change prayer, and you can say yes to Jesus and redirect that whole process. So I want to pray for you this morning. If that's you today, I'm going to count to three. I'm going to ask you to lift your hand. I won't embarrass you in any way. Just slip your hand up. We're going to pray together, and God wants to do a miracle for your life. All right, one. This is not complicated. You already know who you are. When I get to three, I don't want you to think about it. I want you to throw your hand up. If you already know this is you, I want you to go for it. Two, I'm not going to embarrass you in any way to make you leave your chair or stand up or otherwise identify yourself. I just want to know who we're praying with today. I'd like to count you so we can pray, and then we're going to watch God do a miracle. If that's you, ready? Three, slip your hand up right now. Just leave it up just for a moment. Okay, leave it up just for a moment. One, two, who else? Anybody else? Just for a moment. See those two hands. Awesome. Life change on display. Okay, you can put your hands down right now. Father, thank you for the grace of these wonderful people to say, that's me. Now I'm going to ask us all pray this prayer out loud together. Heavenly Father, thank you for loving me enough to tell me the truth in your Bible. Jesus, thank you for loving me enough to die for my sins. I'm asking you to forgive me for every sin I've ever committed. Cleanse me, wash me, renew me. I'm giving you my whole life because today I'm deciding to follow you. No turning back in Jesus' name. Everybody said, amen. Come on, you guys. I love it.
Thank you for listening to today's podcast. We pray that you were blessed by God's word. For more information, visit lifelinkchurch.com.